Continuum from last week. We're closing out the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews 13. Do we have that title page? Is it still there? Cool. Hebrews 13, practically faithful. Faith in action. That's where we're at. And this is kind of a key verse. You can take a picture of it if you don't write quick enough. Sometimes a screen may not stale for you long enough. So you get a picture of it. You can go back and get your notes later. And by the way, in the front of the seat for you guys, there are some tablets there that you can go ahead and jot notes, because you know darn good and well we're going to say, what'd you see? What'd you hear? Okay? What did you see in God's word? What did he speak to you? Right? All right. So as we're kind of wrapping this thing up, which I'm totally stoked about, I don't know about y'all, but I have loved the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to tell you where we're going next. We're going to take a little side saddle step and then come back into a new book. But pretty excited about Hebrews. You know what it all points to? Listen, the supremacy of Christ. It's the supremacy of Christ. He's supreme over all things. It's called Hebrews because it's written to that culture, right? But let me tell you something. They talked about their lineage a lot. You know, when somebody would come up to you and say, well, who's your family? You know, who's your daddy? And they'd give out their lineage of who they were. That was everything to them, so they could see what tribe they were connected to, et cetera, other reasons, but that's good enough. They were impressed with angels. You know, they were impressed with Moses. I would be impressed with Moses. I still am. A guy that stutters, you know. I can connect with that. My mind sometimes works so rapidly that I'm already down two paragraphs, but I need to be at the first paragraph, not the third. And it causes me to stutter. I have dyslexia. I have to use a certain font so I don't flip the words backwards. You know, I do a lot with numbers in another business that I have. And if I flip the numbers, that business can go south pretty quick. So I'm always having to read forward and backwards. When I column check math, you know, like if you're doing your books or you're doing your accounting, I count top to bottom. And then I was trained to count from bottom to top. Because if you go to top to bottom twice and you make one mistake, your brain will remember that mistake and make it a second time. So you column top to bottom to top, right? Moses, I connected with him on many levels. He's just a guy. I mean, these are stories of what God's glory is, right? We call it the Bible, and I love that we have it. I am so glad that I don't have to hear a reckoning from somebody else. We have it written, and it's for all intents and purposes, it's a one-off in your language. It's a one-off in your language. There's no degradation in that. When you study Making Disciples 1, Making Disciples 2, Making Disciples 3 by Larry D. Simone, the first rattle out of the chute, to use a little cowboy phrase, is the authority and the authenticity of the Word of God. And I'm just so thankful that God had spoken to men of things that he wanted us to hear. And then I like Brent brings up, Paul talks about, this is not from God. It stayed in a letter because it's a letter. Right? But I love that they incorporate it, because there's also, it reminds me that we need to be sober-minded, discerning between what is spirit, what is the word, meaning God, and then what is kind of ourselves, right? Anytime I speak, I always speak from the Lord. No, I don't. Ask Mary Lou. I don't always do that. Just in case you think you're trying to put myself or Brent on any kind of podium, please don't. We don't even have a podium here. There's a reason for that. We want to be on the same level. We'd rather have you guys arch up than ourselves. His supremacy. He's over the angels. He's over Moses. He's over the prophets. Because see, the deal is this. In the OT, God spoke to men that had their hearts and minds set aside to the Lord, and he would speak to them to teach, right? You know that he speaks to the ladies, right? He trusts you to raise up the generations. It's our job. My job as a man, as the husband, as the spiritual head of the home, is to look far and away what's going on and then be mindful of what's going on with my tribe. I always talk about geese. I love watching geese when they're eating. You'll get a gaggle that are out there, and you'll see the females down there eating from the seeds and the grass or bugs or whatever geese eat, right? But what do you see with the males? They're sitting upright and they're looking around. And then they'll eat another male, we'll look upright and around. I love that because it reminds me of being that sheepdog. It reminds me of being that goose. Have y'all ever been goosed by a goose? Yeah. Was it going good for you? Did it hurt? Yeah. They pinch. Those little things, they pinch you good, right? I don't want to get goosed anywhere, right? But I'm going to tell you something. I like that we can learn something from that. Are you trying to be a goose? Are you trying to glorify the created beings? No. I love how they take care of themselves. One thing about geese is they're monogamous. They're in a relationship for life. You know, God's given us these abilities. He's given us a relationship with Him for life because we're His wife. Isn't that cool? How does it feel to be the bride of Christ? Anybody? Great. Why?
Because God is just.
I love because. Because it's a dot, dot, it's an ellipsis. Because, dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank, right? It's thought provoking. How about anybody else? Is it good to be the bride of Christ? Yes or no? You don't want to be the bride of Christ?
It's comforting.
It's comforting? Yeah. Is it special? Safety? For me, I don't have to always have the idea. You know, just make it work the way you got that you're listening to God for. There's nothing greater. Christ is the blueprint for living a Christian life. He's our blueprint. He's our dad. He's our husbandman. He's our Savior. He's our strong fortress. He's our 1,000 different names that He has. That's Him. Christ is supreme, and I love that. You know? Look, this book is not just about headspace. I like headspace. You've been given a brain to use. You'll notice that I don't say, well, how do you feel about that? How does that make you feel? That's something that came out in the 90s. Beforehand, we always said, what do you think? You know, I think that there's a mix of the two, but I really want to know what somebody thinks about something. I want to hear their processes, if you will. I want to hear how they got to where they come from on an idea or how they work through their life. It's one of those seek first to understand things. My heart is very important to me. It gives me my passion. I'm a very passionate person. And unfortunately, with passion, I have highs and lows aplenty, right? My heart drives in that, but my mind is the one that's critical. But I got to tell you something. If my mind is nothing but filled with data and stats and no heart to live, then I don't have a heart for living. You know, I've got to live the ways that Christ would live. And what is those ways? By following His nature. What is the essence of who He is? What is the reason behind what He does? You know, I like to reason in those things. He's in our daily lives like that, right? These five topics that we had in here that we covered, we're just going to do, again, a quick little recap. Love and hospitality. No, I need the other one that says relationships. It's the one before. Thank you. Is relationships. Thank you, Bubba. Relationships are key. Your better relationships are going to happen when you have a relationship with Jesus. Do you understand that? The more you're dialed into Him, the more you're going to act like Him. And that's what we want to be doing. We want to act like Him in our relationships. I got to tell you something. I'm going through a little bitter part. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I'm just like, why are you bugging me? You know, I want to just be left alone. Who knows what it is? It's just the thing I'm going through right now. And I've been praying my last couple of days. I keep a prayer journal in the morning now. And one of them was, I need prayer. I don't want to be a jerk. You know, I don't want to have that way in me. And I got to figure out what's going on, Lord. What's going on? Where in my life am I so selfish that I'm just, and I'm just tweaked real hard? Do you guys get that way or am I the only one? Are you going? Any of you going through that right now, where you're kind of wanting your way and nobody else's? No, just me. Okay, well, pray for me then, and I won't pray for you. No, I'm kidding. I'll pray for you. I have been. Relationships, attitudes. Boy, what a segue, huh? What's your attitude in life? What's your attitude towards other people? What's your attitude when the Lord wants of you something for the day? Hey, we live freely in life. All life goes quite freely, quite wonderfully in general. Right? We get to make a lot of decisions. And there's times that he wants a very specific thing done, a sanctified time. There's holy, and then there's holy set apart for a very specific purpose that he wants you to. Maybe you're driving down the road and you get a sense to go to a rest area, and you're like, I don't know why I'm sitting here at this rest area, and then the reason presents itself. I love this story. I heard this gal that she was following the Lord, and she had prayed that she wanted to do the impractical, and all of a sudden, she had got in her spirit, in her sense, Holy Spirit talking to her spirit, which is conscience, right, is to go do a handstand in front of a vending thing at like a 7-Eleven, you know, when you go get your coffee and whatnot, just to do a handstand. And she went in, she walked in. That's a pretty foolish thing, right? Is that, you know, for me, my shirt will come up and I'll have this whale belly showing, right? I don't want that. To do a handstand in front and then to get up and then walk out. But that's what the Lord asked of her. You want to know what the cashier was thinking? Lord, if you're real, you have somebody come in here and do a handstand in front of the coffee machine. That, I hope I get to meet that lady sometime, that young lady. I want to meet her sometime. I want to tell her thank you. Just thank you for being obedient. I don't want to lavish anything on her. Just thank you for your attitude. You know, leadership. That follows right into it. When you're dialed into the Holy Spirit, listen up. When you're dialed into the Holy Spirit, leadership is a natural extension of who you are. You will lead in your own life. Well, I'm a very quiet person. I like to keep to myself. Okay, well, do you have organization? Do you take care of your clothing and your socks and whatever? Yeah. Then you're leading. Now, ask the Lord to stretch you a little bit. Look, stretching just makes you stronger. You guys are doing some exercise stuff? Are you doing stretching?
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's awesome.
Why?
It feels so much better.
Why?
My body feels alive. And
yeah? Your faith is just like that. You're feeling longer because they're learning how to do some specific stretches that's causing mobility, causing fluid to get in the joints that are tired and even worn at your young age, right? But let me tell you something. Also, leadership is like that. Stretching. It feels a little hard at first, but gosh, you walk away and go, man, that was cool. Man, I got to do this. No. You got to see the Lord do this with you, through you. He gets the glory and you get the reflection of his glory, you know. The time we start taking our glory for ourselves is kind of a challenge. We all know about Moses. We just talked about him. Moses tapped the rock twice, right? That's not what God wanted him to do. He did it his way and God wasn't having it. God says, you are a leader. You are responsible for circa 2.5 million of my people. I want you to do the things I want you to do. You know, well, that was Old Testament. No, that's today's Testament. That's just a Testament. You know, so stay focused there. Leadership, worship. Worship is so many things. We think of worship as just being here with the microphones and the musicians and whatnot. No, that's one part of worship. Can I tell you something? Some of you write checks. Your ministry is to accounting and taking care of money. You write checks. That's worship. Did you know that? Did you know that giving is worship? Yes or no? It is. And it's the number one thing written about in the Bible. Do I care whether you give or not? Ask me. I don't care, and I do care. I don't care because I'm not about money. It's God's business. I do care because it may be an area that's lacking in your worship, and you're not complete in that area yet, right? It's a wonderful thing. Look, I don't care if you give a nickel. Can't do pennies anymore. They're going to write those out, right? Did you know it costs 3 pennies to make a penny? How dumb is that? Can I pay 3 times for a car to get a car? No. I'm not buying that vehicle. So if you have any pennies you want me to take them, I'll take them from you. I'll buy them from you at value, not 3 times higher. I forgot where I was going. Anybody know where I was going? Worship, perseverance, giving. I want to see that you guys are complete in that area and not worry about it. And if you're going to give a nickel, here we are. Thank you, Lord. If you're going to give a nickel, I want to see you be consistent with that. That's all I care about. Because that commitment is not to me. If it's to me, if it's to Brent or any of the people here, you're doing it wrong. This is not a membership. It's not what this place is. This is an act of worship. It's having a contriteness to you. It's an act of worship. And I want to see your consistency in that. Because let me tell you something. You're doing a nickel. Since we're not going to have pennies anymore, we have to go to dimes, right? Maybe now you're giving 2 nickels every week. And you, whether you put it in the box or put it online, I don't care how you do it, doesn't matter to me. You know? But be consistent with what you have made that commitment to the Lord with. Please do that. Please do not lose sight of that. He's going to stretch you in that. Relationships is another form of worship. Communicating with people is another form of worship. Interacting with people. That's kind of the big one too, right? Because we're made to be in one another's company. Well, I'm just not comfortable doing that. Well, I didn't say get a hold of everybody at Outpost. Find one or two people. Try somebody that you're odds with. Hey, you know something? I like doing the tough stuff because we can do hard things. Tough stuff. Why? It gets you through the problem a lot quicker. You heard me talking about cattle. When the storm is coming in, the cattle go as far away from the storm as they can get. The buffalo move towards the storm. They've already figured out you move into the storm and beyond it, it's clear skies on the other. While the cattle are running away, they're constantly in fear of that storm coming. Press into tough stuff. Maybe you have somebody that you're at odds with. Press into that relationship. Just talk to them. Say, hey, man, I was thinking about you today. Whatever that may be. Drop a card, drop a line. Maybe you don't want to talk to them. Write out a card. Hey, I was thinking about you today. You don't have to drop a scripture on that first or second or third or 15th. Just be loving. Start there. You know, the scripture will come when it comes, but just start with being loving. Keep it simple for some of you that need to stair step from your cloisteredness to reach out and get a hold of somebody. Fellowship is a wonderful form of worship. Seeing you guys dancing here, seeing you guys get together and eating your food and don't even come in for the song part of worship, right? Because you're so enjoying each other, right? That's why we tell the ushers, we're breaking out whips in 2 weeks. We're having whip training. I'm kidding, we're not. To get you guys moved in. You learn that on your own. Some of you that are talking too much with people, you need to back off and listen a little more. There's always room on all sides of these spectrums pieces. Do you understand? Okay. What's another form of worship? Acts. Duty. That's a big thing for me. I'm an acts of service guy. God, that guy's just so clinical. He's just doing all these things. It's going, no, you don't understand. When I'm sweeping a broom, when I'm wiping a window, I'm saying I love you. Do you understand? I may not say I love you and go, oh, I love you. You're so good. You're the best ever. I'll do that every now and then, but it's really not me, you know? But if I'm serving you in some way or fashion, if I'm spending time with you or for you or on your accounting, I'm saying I love you. Some of you guys are servers. You like to be with the kids. Some of you need to rotate into the kids once a month. You really do. It's so much fun. We are lacking with the older group right now. We have an older group we're having to put in with the youngers because we don't have enough people to rotate through. Guess what? You just got a tap on the shoulder, you know, and specifically men. I want to see the men at least do once a month. At least men. Let me tell you something, what happens, because I've been a man and still am in the kids ministry, and I watch from afar and I see how they act. And they do a good job with you ladies. I will tell you something, if the kids are kind of acting up a little, you don't have to be gruff. You just have to say, boys, that's something? Girls, mm-mm. God has wired in for those children to have this spiritual authority. It's not a ranking. It's just a different angle. It's an assist to those that are teaching mostly. When I go in, I'm not there to teach the whole thing. You can if you want to. I'm here to assist. Help the kid lift the crayon from his hand to write it in here. Or help a kid find his place in the Action Bible or whatever Bible they're in and sit there and point the fingers with the kids that are older and maybe help break out and teach them something. You men have a profoundness to you. The ladies already know this stuff, but I'm talking to the men right now and only the men. You know, we do a background check to make sure you're not a creep, because if you're a creep, you're not getting in. But most of you are not creeps. And the men, you men going back there, it's powerful. It's so powerful. And I know because I've been involved with it for over 30 years, and I hear the feedback from the women. And you know what? Some won't if there's pride involved. But there's a bit of a desperation to have the authority that God gives just in the baritone-esque of your voice. Does that make sense? Don't be afraid. Don't look to see what other men are doing, men. I hope you're listening. Don't look to see what other men are doing to do. You lead. You press into that forward movement. Taking care of the building, doing the cleanup, you know, putting paper towels in there, pulling out the trash, and being observant. Those are all parts of worship. Obviously, the praise part of it, the song part of it, you know, your personal time. We're talking about the lifestyles of a Christian, right? And here's this one, perseverance. You know what happens when perseverance subsides is you don't have your vision focused on your goals and objectives, those of Christ. Goals are short-term, 0 to 6 months, 6 months to a year, short and long-term goals. Objectives are a lot further. They're 1 year to 5 years, 5+ years, short and long-term objectives. You have to have a direction that you're going. Well, I'm retired. I don't need to do anything. I'm sorry. You will be nothing by not having a goal and objective. Some of you are goal setters in your family, and some of you are not. You goal setters in your family, don't be upset with the other ones that aren't. They're not goal setters. They don't necessarily want to be, but should be. Don't over-goal them. And you that don't like goals and objectives, you need to understand that you need a little conformity in your life because you're running around directionless. And so maybe it's just, I would like to do my laundry on Monday. Practice little things. You know me, I have a place where I put my britches. If I wear them for 2 hours, they go right here because I'm going to put 2 hours on them. I'm not going to wash my britches every day. They didn't get that. I'm not out in the oil field anymore. I'm not doing 8, 12, 16 hours in the oil field. My pants don't get dirty like they used to. You know, there are certain things that you'll do that have a specific discipline. I know some of my folks are going, that's creepy, dude. You're wearing old jeans. No, I'm not. I just don't have a full 8 hours and I'm working on 8 and I only got 2. Right? I'm just kidding. And I'm serious. You need to have different disciplines in your life, and goals and structures will help bring that conformity. If you're just kind of waiting for the next thing that comes your way, a little laissez-faire, I understand that. Ask God to shape you just a little bit more. You ADD people, if you're with somebody that's a little ADD and they're kind of hyper-organized on things, you need to understand how their mind works. Their mind works. Everything needs to be organized. If it's out of place, it skips trace through my mind. And so they're acting that way, and it may even sound a little controlling, right? But the reason they're doing that is to hold the ground in their own mind. They're not doing it to be a jerk to you. It's probably a coping mechanism. Perseverance in your goal setting and your objective setting, you lose sight of the goal, and it keeps you from persevering. Or sometimes you'll just get on overload. Too many things are coming your way. Have you ever heard the statement where people say, oh, God will never give you what you can handle? What you can't handle. Have you heard that? I disagree with that. I get things that are so far outside my reach constantly that I need God to help me do those things. If I don't have God to help me do those things, I don't need Him. You think raising kids without a manual is easy? Well, you have one. It's the Bible, obviously. And there's some few good books out there. But let me tell you something. You want to be a good dad? You want to be a good mom? You know Jesus Christ tight, tight. Operate like He does. Everything else will fall into place. You got a manual. You got a goal. There are times in perseverance when things get out of whack. They're just whack-a-doodle. They're all over the map, right? Well, guess what? Get back to your goals. Lord, show me where I left off. Show me where I need to be right now. Bring me back to that tissue that I wrote my goals out on and I stuck it on the side of the fridge or wherever you put it. You know, or reestablish in me. Reestablish in me. Do you know why you got to get back to the basics? Because you don't have your goals. You don't have the things that are mattersome in your life. If I were raising small children, I want to see some benchmarks in their life. You know, I'm going to spend time and read to them. I'm not going to stick them in front of one of these for 24 hours. I'm going to sit down and we're going to open a book together. We're actually going to read the books. I had one of my grandsons. He's a goofball now, but then he wasn't. And we had them in twin beds. They were little. They were living with us. And every day, every morning we get up and, you know, they had these little headboards and the books are laying all around. Like, man, that kid must have been bed surfing, sheet surfing, right? Books laying everywhere. Had a little nightlight there. Found out that the oldest grandson was sitting there reading books. He'd read 10 or 12 books a night. I'll tell you, when they learn how to read, they learn how to spell. When they learn how to spell, they have momentum. When they learn how to read, they'll achieve in their lives. You want to teach them how to read and go through the painstaking times of teaching them how to read. Do not depend on a teacher to teach your children how to read. They've got six classes at 35 kids each. They got zero time in that 1 hour to spend with your child, let alone with the depth. That is your job. Well, I suck as a parent. Well, stop sucking and unsuck and get back to being good at it, right? Just start. Just select, reset. And you know what the reset is? God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Would you restart me again? Children, if you're listening, especially you little bunhead. She's got a little bun on her head. Is that you need to forgive your parents. You adults that have parents and your parents didn't do you right, you need to forgive them. They screwed up. If they knew Jesus properly, they probably wouldn't have acted the way they did. If you lost them early, I'm sorry. You know, you've got God as an amazing dad. Kids, you need to forgive your mom and dad. And you adults that are here that have not forgiven them, if they're still alive, they need to hear that from you. Just do it. Just do that. If they've passed on, write a letter and put it by their graveside. Send it to the company wherever that manages that. And if they're in a dust box and they used an urn, then just write the letter and then go burn it out on your back porch in a fire safe place. But get that letter and just say, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong on this. I missed the mark on that. Let me tell you, there are people out there that would yearn to have a couple of words with a family member amiss. You understand? Perseverance. Keep your eyes. Listen, let's get back to it. Keep your eyes on the prize here. Stay the course with perseverance. Don't lean to the left. Don't give up. Don't give up. May I get those other five, please? In Hebrews, take a picture of this because it's not going to be up there long. Love and hospitality. That's the key. That's where Hebrews 1:1-3 is. Don't go there yet. Hebrews 1:1-3, or 1-2 is, it's all about love and hospitality. You know, it's a big thing. Compassion, caring about others. If you care about others, you got to see through their eyeballs, right? Contentment. Why do you always have to have something new? You know, it's okay to have the consistency. It's okay to have what you might consider mundane. Brother and I were talking about motorcycles the other day, and you had a motorcycle, another one came out. It's like, dude, you got a nice bike. Let it go, right? He was like, yeah. You know, so honoring leadership, we'll get into this a little bit deeper. And then, of course, continual praise. Are you saying I walk around, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart today. Now, if you want to hear it right. Whatever you're going to do, right? That's silly song for a little kid, but I got to tell you, most every one of you in here had a smile on your face. You know why? Because you were just reminded of the joy of the Lord that spurred a happiness response that brought a smile to your face, which uses less muscles than a frown. Did you know that? If you're having a frowny day, you need to do a stand on your hands in front of a coffee machine. Hebrews 1-3. You can put that on the board. It's a call to love one another as the same part of the same family. We're called to love each other. Did you know that? I love you. You say, I love you. Brother in the back, I love you. Get off me, man. Creep. I love you. Yeah, well, I ain't like that. Third time, I love you. Love you too. Now get off me. You know, fourth, fifth, sixth time. Now I get 17 hugs from that guy within the first 5 minutes, and I love him. The big old burly guy, you know, he gives me a hug like I'm hugging a bear without fur. He's a furless bear, right? But let me tell you something. His heart is so full. His heart is full because he understands that love. He's not excellent. He's perfect at it. He's just there. That hospitality, philozenos. The philo means word. Love. That word means love. The first part, we get Philadelphia from it. The xenos is strangers. Love strangers. Showing hospitality. You have to have a love. You got to draw a cross, as my bride reminds, draw a cross on their forehead to remind that Christ died for them. Just reach up there. And if they're looking at you, just go. They won't even see you doing it. You just did it with your mind. You had a mind pencil. We're to love strangers as unto God. Isn't that nice to love strangers? And guess what? When you treat them people kindly, you may be talking to an angel unaware. Isn't that wild? Have you talked to angels? Now, I'm not talking about the song. I'm talking about literally, have you encountered? You may never. That's fine. Doesn't make you any better or any less, but it's definitely there. Have a heart open to all. Just open your heart. But people hurt you. They do. Hurt people hurt people, right? It's okay that they hurt. Understand that. But guess what? Who's responsible for your responses? You have to guard your heart. Remember, if they hurt you, gosh, try to understand beyond your own hurt and go, man, may they hurt me, but if they knew Jesus a little more intimately, they may not have responded that way, right? Is that an easy thing to do, yes, no? Z's above your head? It is easier when you put it to practice. Look at Christ. See Christ in every person. Operate in kindness. Is that hard for you to do, yes or no? That's a question. It is hard, isn't it? And you know what? It becomes lesser and lesser the more you practice kindness. Be like him. Compassion and empathy. That'd be in Hebrews 13:3. Empathy to those who are imprisoned or mistreated. That's a physical imprisonment. I would at least offer another consideration, is that some people are trapped in their own ism that they created, thus making them not incarcerated, but to their soul. You got to remember them in prayer. How can I take care of somebody in prison? Hospitality, compassion, and empathy. Can't you help somebody that's in prison with their children? What's that angel tree? Is that the name of the shoebox? Is that right? Thank you. Angel tree, do you know what it is? Have you ever heard of it? If you haven't, let me tell you about it. Angel tree is simple. It happens right after Operation Christmas Child. And I like Operation Christmas Child, and I like Angel Tree Ministry, because the prisoner is in there, but the kids live in a prison because of that other person's mistakes. The kids live in a prison of their own because they don't have their dad or they don't have their mom there. Well, let me tell you something. You know what the angel tree does around Christmas time? They'll give you a list and you get to pick a kid and you go buy stuff for them in their incarcerated family member's name. I love that part because it's not about you, right? You can help in these ways. Maybe their family members are financially distraught because of somebody that made bad decisions. Well, why should I have to cover their bad decision? I don't know about that. But why can't we make the decision to put some groceries on their doorstep? And if you're worried about the Google or the camera, the Ring camera, then drive down the street, put an ugly Santa hat mask on and go deliver them, and who cares, you know? It's really not about you. It's just about doing whatever God has through you with the compassion. That's how you can help the imprisoned in our modern times, right? It says, menene is the Greek. It says to be mindful when it says remember. That says to put it in the top of your mind, actively engaging with the plight of others. Isn't that something? It gives a whole other mindset to the word memory, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Share in their suffering. Make their burdens lighter. Purity in marriage. That's in Hebrews 13:4. Not only are we to maintain purity in our own marriages, but to uphold the sanctity of marriage in our community, right? That's what we get with folks. Contentment and trust. We need to encourage one another with what we already have. You already have plenty. Be satisfied with that. Let me tell you something. When I was a young guy getting out of the military, everything I had was in a rucksack. Now I can't even get our groceries in a rucksack, right? Was my life easier then? Yes, it was. Was it more complete? No, it was not. Not because of stuff. Be self, and here's the key on that. What we want to be is self-sufficient in God's provision. In other words, I want to take care of what He's provided me with and be content with that. I want to be self-sufficient in God's provision, not in wealth. I don't care about wealth. We're not here about our material possessions. And can I tell you, start focusing on gratitude. If you're worried about what you don't have or what you lack or lacks, L-A-C-K-S, not L-A-X, then focus on gratitude, not anything the other. You know, focusing on anything else really severely trips you up. It just does. Honoring leaders and living by grace. This cup of tea made it to my thing this today. That was an honor to me. You look at my credo and it's honor, duty, and family. That's me. Things that are of honor, things that are dutiful, things that are family driven. These types of things are honorable. Support your leaders. Pray for them. Listen, making their service joyful, we talked about this last week, making their service joyful by being a cooperative and understanding community. That these guys showed up to shovel the snow ahead of time, that's just one aspect of many. Do you understand? All right, let's continue on. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16 as we bolt out of here. The sacrifice of praise, offering a sacrifice of praise. Therefore, let us offer, what does it say? Let's do it again. Let us offer a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. Hold on here for just a minute. When you're sacrificing, this comes at a cost. Praising costs you something. Praising God turns your mind to Him, not to you. Praising God turns your mind to Him in every situation, good, bad, and indifferent. Do you understand? Start there. If you're having a hard time, if you're having memory lapses, I don't care what it is, praise God. Just praise God in the midst. Are you saying praise God for everything to come? Yes, I am. It's a sacrifice of what we're doing. Let us offer through Christ a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. It has cost me my family in some facets to praise Jesus with all I have. My family is foreign to me, and I'm foreign to them. I'm sorry that that's that way. I do my best to build bridges, and the bridges are unconstructible currently. But God, I'm like, all right, Lord, make that change. Go ahead to that next verse, please. And don't forget, and here's that word. Let's change that. Remember to do good and to share with others in need. These are the sacrifices that pleases God. When you do good to other people, we've been leading up to that. We're talking about living a Christian life, aren't we? Careful, don't crisscross conservatism or capitalism, rather, excuse me. Don't cross capitalism with sanctification. It's two different things. One is how money and politico is operated in a human sense. The other has to do with your personal desire unto Him or not. This sacrifice of praise, it comes at a cost. Have any of you spoken openly about Christ and your family members just don't treat you the same way they did before? Has that happened a little bit? It's okay. Jesus said that would happen. Does He care about them? Yes. Should you? Yes. Should you obsess over it? No. That's between Christ and them right now. And then when they know Jesus, that's a different outcome. I had a grandmother, my paternal grandmother, my father's mother. She talked about everybody behind their back when they were not there. She was a wretch with her tongue. It broke my heart to hear her talking about my cousins and whatnot. And I knew when I left, I was on her chopping block. And I don't know that she came to know Jesus. I know that her Bible was, there was a Bible by her bed. And it was pretty clean pages, but she started reading the Word, and I'm hoping one little verse jumped out at her and saved her little soul. That's just not how we do. Are you a gossiper? Please don't do that. Let's sacrifice and move to praise. Instead of gossiping about somebody else, why don't you praise God in the situation? Just praise Him in the situation. Lord, I don't know why this woman is talking to me this way. I don't know why this man is doing this and speaking these ways, but I'm going to praise You through it. Father, save them. They just don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Dad. If they knew You, He wouldn't do this to you. Praise Him when it's hard. Because we can do
hard things.
We can do hard things, right? We can do hard things. It's also a form of worship, right? Let me see here. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Hebrews 13, 20 through 25. Now may the God of peace equip you with all you need for doing His will, right? May the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with His blood. That is pretty deep. He's going to equip you with all you need to be doing His will. Please, next one. There it is. Is there anything else you need to do His will? He's going to equip you. Well, I don't understand the equipping. That's okay. It's okay to not understand the equipping. You know who you go to about that? You go to God about that. God, show me your equipping. I don't understand this. I don't know how to work through this situation. Don't be surprised and actually be considered that He's going to give you a scripture. He's going to give you a sense of wisdom. He's going to give you some insight. He's going to give you some opportunity to pray and put the phone away so that you can hear Him, to be equipped to do all you need to be doing His will. Pretty wild, huh? He equips you for every good work. We rely on His power and not our own. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, look at this, every good thing that's pleasing to Him. Well, I didn't get what I prayed for. You said if you pray in His name, you're going to get it. Well, let's talk about this. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, and here's the rub, every good thing that is pleasing to Him. Are the things of your heart that you're praying for, are they going to be pleasing to Him? If they're not pleasing to Him, just step back from it. Recalibrate. Say, Lord, did I really need to pray at this, I don't know, selfish thing? All glory to Him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. All glory, go back. All glory to Him forever and ever. Yeehaw. Yeehaw. Leave it right there for a moment, please. Listen, this is where we're going to be. Some expanded questions. I don't know if we have these for you or not. It's how do you love others when it's hard? How do you love others when it's hard? Do y'all have a problem with that? Yes or no? Or you can just love people when they're spitting in your face, right? Or they just punched you, or they keyed your car, or they stole from you? Oh, okay, so it is hard. Loving others can be difficult, especially when they've hurt us or when personalities clash. The key to remember is that love just isn't an emotion. It's a decision rooted in God's love for us when we feel empty. We draw from God's endless supply of grace and ask Him to love through us. Pray for that person. Ask God to soften your heart to them, right? Pray for them. Let Him do it. Isn't that wild? Do you have that? Is the next slide of scripture, 1 John 4:19, is that in there? Yeah, there it is. Thank you. We love each other because He loved us first. We got to go to the source and love Him from that angle. The next one, what's a modern way to show hospitality? Remember, those are the topics? It's more about creating a welcome space, right? Whether it's your home or your table or your time. Some of you have time available to be hospitable. Some of you don't have time. Some of you show hospitality by giving them a food card, you know, whatever it may be. It can be as simple as sharing a meal, offering a listening ear, right? Helping someone when they feel they belong. That's a big one. A lot of folks get this separation. They don't feel like they belong to anything. Suicides come out of that, unfortunately. I know many a time I had a gun to my mouth when I was younger, now without Christ. You know, it's a hopelessness. Let them know they're loved. That's why we always say, I love you. When you're reminded, you know, get comfortable with saying, I love you. In Spanish, there's no term for I love you in the sense one man loving another man, right? And that's a sad thing. We need to develop some Spanish for that, you know, and build a bridge beyond that. I don't like that they're in any language. but more so the language of the heart not expressing care for another person, the universal language, right? Listening ear is a key piece. Hospitality is less about perfection and much about presence. It's about you being there and being available. The scripture in Romans 12, 13, always be eager to practice hospitality. Do you have kids in your life that are eager to do something? You put pizza down and they're eager to eat pizza, right? Is that, am I close?
Yeah.
Yeah, even if they're big kids.
I got it tatted on my arm, Doc.
Okay. You got pizza tatted on your arm? You're
I'll
sick.
Show you, bro.
You're sick and I don't want to see. It'll be like the whole pants and pantsless thing earlier. All right, the third one. How can we find contentment in a world that screams for more? Remember, when the world is screaming for more and you're listening to that world, you too are screaming for more. How can we find contentment? I mean, look at the pills that they give you for everything. There's a pill for everything. Have you ever read the small print on the bottom of the screen? Dude, some of the stuff it does to you. We don't find our commitment and contentment in possessions. We find it in trusting God. That's who brings contentment to us. Well, Dave, you said this already. I'm saying it a third time so we can hear it more properly. Because I will tell you, outside of pride in our flag, the absence of contentment is one of the hardest things I face when we're dealing with people, specifically in marriages. Marriages break off because they're not content. It's not a contract, pal. It's a covenant. Her feet aren't always going to smell like roses. She's going to eat crackers in your bed. That's just the way that goes down. You know, ladies, that man may want that dog to sleep with him. You kick that dog off that bed super quick. Men, you allow that to happen. If you don't have a heater, that's why dogs slept in the beds. It was a three-dog night. You know what a three-dog night is? It's so cold, you needed three dogs to keep you warm. Gratitude is the antidote. Gratitude is the antidote to contentment, the absence of contentment. When you start being grateful for what you have, the stuff that you don't need in your life actually starts finding its way out of your house and the heart as well. 1 Timothy 6:6. Truly godliness with contentment itself is great wealth. Did you catch that? The great wealth of contentment. Sorry that it's lower there. What does it mean to honor spiritual leaders as we're wrapping up? It means praying for them, encourage them. Do you know Brent needs encouragement? He won't tell you that. I can tell he does. But he's not a real mushy guy, so don't do mushy things. You know? Maybe he'd go skateboarding with him. I don't know, BMXing, whatever he does, you know. Wear donut pants with him and encourage him on. I guarantee you, if all of y'all next Sunday came in here and dressed like Brent, he would be so inspired. So don't kid yourself. He also has his inspiration and needs it. It's good to be a part of a fun time. I get this doing a thing through church with a conga line and whatnot. Probably would have never seen that done at any church I grew up with. But I have to tell you something, watching those little kids and seeing the person having to go through it, it's like going to, what's that steak joint that people have to ride the saddle? Roadhouse. You know, it's always funny for the guy that sets it up, but the person that has to sit on the saddle, they're like, I hate you. Except there's one exception. We took Jerry out for her birthday and I set it up ahead of time. She jumped up on that saddle just sassy as all can be. I loved it. Sacrifice. How do we struggle offering sacrifice how do we offer a sacrifice of praise when we're struggling? Life's hard. Praise can feel like the last thing you want to do, but that's what makes it a sacrifice. Did you catch that? Because it's important. What makes it a sacrifice is that you're having to praise Him when things aren't so praiseworthy right now. You're having a rough patch. Your marriage has gone south. You've had loss in your life. Whatever that may be, it's a tough thing. I will tell you right now, if I fly in a plane again, I like road trips. If I fly in a plane again and we become a lawn dart, I'm going to be praising. Praise God from whom all... Coyote, you know? I'm going to praise Him. Y'all better come to Jesus. We're going down. It ain't going to be pretty.
Mine does not defy with you ever.
Huh? Do what?
Remind us not to fly with you.
I mean, when they sit there, and I don't know if you know this, but when I fly and we hit turbulence, you know what I do? Yeehaw! I'll put one hand down and start going like that. Y'all can do that. They'll hate you for it, but you can do that. They'll carry you off in the plane in a new coat that buttons from the back. Praising God shifts your focus. Maybe you're not happy with the situation. It didn't meet your standard of time or whatever. You know what? Praising God changes your focus. Listen up. It changes your focus. Worship becomes a weapon. You may want to jot that one down too. Your worship becomes a weapon. How do we live by grace and not by our own strength? How do we do that? Leads to God's strength. Just leaning into His strength. Maybe you're weak right now, spiritually, physically, any of the above. Lean into God's strength. When we feel weak, experience His power. Trust that His grace is sufficient for every challenge. Dude, some of you guys that have been with us for a long time know that I'm a medical nightmare. And you know something that I've learned from that is just to press into Him. Again, I'll tell you a story I've told 100 times at least. Little old lady in her 80s or 90 years old. She wasn't talking about all the pain because, you know, when you get older, you talk about everything that hurts, right? Who said that that's okay? Oh, this thing doesn't. Well, you got 3 trillion cells that are working just quite fine. You're worried about that little toe or whatever you're doing? And you know what? She says, I've just got to the point of I'm not going to focus on the things that don't work, but the things that do. I love that attitude because it totally changed for me. You know, trust that His grace is sufficient for every single challenge. Last two, how can we support those who are suffering? Suffering starts with empathy. Their suffering starts with your empathy. You know what empathy is, right? It's being able to see life through their perspective. You know, the difference is when you look through it with the lens of God, not the lens of man. Being present and listening. Listening's key. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Guys, it snowed today. Thank you, Lord. I prayed for that. I was praying for about 5 or 6 more inches. I hate you, Dave. Hate me. I don't mind. You love me when you drink water. And in Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens, and in this way, only the law of Christ, obey the law of Christ, which is love, right? And lastly, how do we guard purity in a culture that devalues it? Purity requires intentionality. Well, you're married. You. Let me tell you, you got to remain pure in a marriage just like you do as single. Did you know that? Guard your hearts and mind by filling with God's truth. That takes care of your purity. Continue to fill that. You guys know I got away from my personal reading for a year. Some of my old thoughts tried to eke back in and try to take command of my life. And thank God I have enough of the Word built into me to fight that off. But it would, listen, I'm a man of God. That was a struggle. Now I'm back in the Word. I'm like, but I don't let my guard down. Love well. Tips for living. Love well. Be hospitable. Practice contentment. Honor leadership. Praise daily. Rest in grace. Support the suffering. Pursue purity and encourage others. Encourage others. You're being encouraged things. Love boldly. Serve joyfully. Trust in Christ. Trust deeply. Love boldly. Serve joyfully. Trust deeply. Lord, we thank You for all of this. Let our love be open and real and engaging, Lord. We just can't be these men and women that we think we ought to be. Let us be the men and women You would shape us to be. Let our compassion be active and engaged. Let our marriages reflect God's design for purity and commitment. Let our commitment stem from trusting in You, Lord, in Your promises. Let our respect for leaders make their service a joy. Father, as we go from this place, infuse in us the spirit of Hebrews 13. May we love deeply. May we show empathy. May we honor marriages. May we find contentment in you and support those you've placed in leadership over us. Please, Lord, equip us with every good and righteous thing for doing your will. Through Jesus' name, your glory forever, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeehaw. Enjoy your time with one another. When you're doing breakout, talk to